have a clear, consistent brand voice? And do you have a tone of voice document to refer to when writing your content and emails? Or are you thinking, Leanne, what the hell are you on about? If this is a new topic for you, then I'm pumped to bring you this interview with Gemma Limchitsi. I hope I pronounced that right, from Contently Driven. She's a fellow copywriter and absolutely loves this stuff. And she has a very fun and playful process when it comes to putting it all together. So get your pen and paper ready. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure and find the courage within to step up, show up, and make an impact on the world, while also living a lucrative life and reaching their full potential. And I do this through strategic marketing advice and engaging conversational copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Gemma Limchitsi. Yes?
No? Yes.
Ah, yes. Welcome, Gemma. That's a tongue twister. Because I'm like, Limchitsi. You're like, no, there's a C at the end of that.
Yes, I have one of those difficult Italian surnames.
Limchitsi. Okay.
Beautiful.
Got it. All right. So Gemma is the founder of Contently Driven. She creates fearless marketing and writes copy that sounds like you or teaches you how to DIY. Yes, a fellow copywriter. She's a degree qualified copywriter, marketer, and an international English teacher. But what's most important to her is what she does for her clients. So Gemma's business mission is to help more women be themselves in their business and set their brand voice free. Woo! Because that's what grows your business. I love that.
Yes.
So Gemma and I originally connected through the Clever Copywriting community, and we've recently been chatting like on LinkedIn after discovering we had shared ambitions, I guess, and we're going on the same path. And I was interviewed by Gemma yesterday for her podcast, Work Wife Wine Time, which was so much fun. And so doing a little swapsy, and I'm interviewing her for my podcast today. And this is like another example of a collaboration between so-called competitors. But you know, it seems to be working pretty well for us because no two copywriters are alike.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I wanted to just go back actually to your profile. You said you do, you've been an international English teacher. I would love to hear what that was like.
Yes, absolutely. It was one of the most amazing times of my life. And we actually chatted about this yesterday. Your father was a retired teacher. My mother is a retired teacher, and they both sort of pushed us and say, no, don't do teaching, you know, don't do it. It's so, you know, so much red tape and it's so different now. Don't go there. So it was something that I always wanted to do. And I was getting, stuck in corporate world and you know what it's like. And I was pushing and pushing and pushing, and I was not going to get a rise, go anywhere further, no matter what I did. So, yes, it can happen in the corporate world. So at that point, I thought, no, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And because Mom's always said it's so difficult here, I'm like, oh, let's maybe go to another country. And
it'd be completely different there, right?
Yeah, it'd be completely different there, right? So off I went. And I'm an avid traveler, so 63 countries now. At that time I hadn't done any of the Americas at all. I'm like, oh, let's go there. So I chose Costa Rica as my first point of call, and that was solely through investigating and research of finding the safest you know, woman-friendly country there, I guess, because we all know many of those countries are known to be dangerous, right? So that was coming up best. I'm like, oh, what do I know about Costa Rica? My favorite animal lives there, sloths.
No way, that's a random animal to be, yeah, okay. Yeah. Why is a sloth your favorite? Sorry, tangent.
Yeah, it goes back to Sesame Street. You know, in Sesame Street when they would show the small clips of animals, they used to show the sloth one, and I looked at this animal and this creature. I'm like, this creature is
the lazy sloth, and I was just
so breathtaken by a sloth when I was a child. I'm like, all they do is lie around giant tall trees in the jungle. They're amazing and really cute. Yeah, my brain.
I love it. It's just so random. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I have a very random brain. So, yeah, so off I went there and I became qualified there and did my training, and it was amazing. And the school I did my training through actually offered me a job halfway through my training because they said to me, Jimmy, you are amazing at this. We want you to work for us. So I didn't even have to source work after that. And it just took me two amazing places. And I think I thought, let's teach English because, well, I'm good at writing, I'm a writer and all of that, you know, grammar nerd, makes sense. And I loved it. And my students were fabulous. I taught as young as 6 years old up to my oldest student in Italy was 78.
Wow. And so how long did you do that for?
Costa Rica was for a year. And then I thought it might be nice to go spend time with some of my family in Italy. So I applied and got a job over in Italy. So I taught there for 6 months. Then I did a brief sort of teaching stint in Bulgaria. Then I thought, no, I want to go back to the Americas. So I then taught for a year in Colombia.
Wow, so quite a while. It wasn't like a little 6 month thing. Like it was.
No, it expensive. Was 3 years, and then what took me to my other favorite animal. I love how I travel due to animals. Giant tortoises.
Oh, and I do admire that. I do love them. Yeah, yeah. They look like to be 100 or something.
Yeah. And I was so fascinated by the Galapagos Islands as a child, as well. So off I went there, volunteer teaching on the Galapagos Islands. So it was pretty amazing time.
That is so cool. I want to go more into your business journey as a whole. So like the marketing, writing, that happened after this teaching stuff?
No, so it actually started in between that time. So when I was teaching in Colombia, I realized I missed a lot of that. So I started freelancing and doing a lot of freelance work and things on the side. And I was teaching online. So I was teaching in a classroom, teaching online and freelance copywriting.
No, why not? Add something else to the schedule. Right? I'm just saying, no, I can't complain. I like variety too. Everyone knows I do a million things.
And it started there as a freedom thing for me, freedom to freelance copyright and do all of that and be able to still travel. And by the end of that 3 years, it came to the point where my family back here pretty much said to me, if you're not home for a fourth Christmas, we might kill you. So
fair call.
So I'm like, okay, I'll go home, I guess. When I arrived home, I'm like, oh, well, let's actually create this into a business. And it just morphed everywhere from then. So after a while of doing copywriting and marketing my business, I realized I missed the teaching side. So it's like this, you know, crossover. So I started then similar to you, Leanne, with my strategic strength being my number one. That's the part of it I loved. So doing the strategy side, helping people with that, doing that, helping them grow their businesses. And my business just keeps morphing and it's been an incredible journey.
I love it. Oh, well done. That's so cool. I love, how you just you had that calling. You're, oh, I'm being drawn. I still have to do the writing, but you still have to do the teaching, and it's all kind of comes together. I love it. Mm-hmm. And so today's theme is how to find your writing voice. So what do the words brand voice mean to you, Gemma?
Okay, how do I not blabber on about this forever? No. The words brand voice, they really do mean everything to me. So what a brand voice actually is, it's the personality and emotion that you infuse into all communications, so everything you write. And it includes the language you use, the words you use, your personality, and your overall presence as a person. So if you're a solo business owner, your brand voice is your voice, your own personality. And it's not to be confused with tone of voice. So they are two different things. They're interchangeable, but they are two different things. So whereas your voice is your business's personality, that's what's consistent and permanent. But the tone is how you write or say your words. And where that can change is you do adjust it to, I guess, suit a piece of content or message. So whereas, I guess, an example, you might have a really lighthearted, say, social media post, but more of a serious blog. And that's okay because in it, your brand voice, which is your personality, that stays the same. But the communication and words you use, so it could be the tone or the rhythm, may change on your delivery.
Awesome. Thank you so much for clarifying between the two. I mean, you know, they do kind of overlap a little bit, but one is the brand voice, I do believe that consistency. I can't remember if I mentioned in the podcast before, maybe in an earlier episode, of, you know, I have had a client before who is like one type of voice in, you know, face to face, but then the email was very corporate and it was like, oh, it didn't line up. And you don't want to have also quirky social media posts, but then once again, your emails are written in a different way. And I think it was Kate Toon that kind of got into this habit of make sure my personality is coming through in my email. So it is consistent through every single communication. They know that they're still dealing with the same person. And yeah, so I crack stupid jokes and I'm a bit silly sometimes. So my emails will be a mix of here's a serious and then a smiley face and then, you know, or a bit of a joke and something in brackets. And that's me, like those offside things, which is what I'm like. So people know this is Leanne coming through in her emails. And I think, yeah, it's really important to have that consistency just to, so when people do see it everywhere, they're seeing the same person. There's mm-hmm. no like disjointment. Is that a word? Disjointedness?
Yeah.
I can make up words, I'm a writer. yeah. So, okay. So then there's like a tone of voice document. Mm-hmm. So what is that and what are the benefits of that?
Well, it's the document, I guess, basically is a document. It's like a template and with, I guess, do's and don'ts, right? So, words and phrases to say, words and phrases not to say, the tone of how to write those words. So, for example, it could be, you know, use active language and strong words. Don't be passive, don't be wishy-washy. So the document is there really for that consistency. So that's its main benefit. And once you go through creating it and you have that template there with, you know, your do's and don'ts and bits and pieces, that's how you can move on and create the consistency through everything you write. And like you said before, it really does go to email as well, because it's, you really are going to confuse someone, you know, if you've got this fun personality here and there and then a super serious email, it just doesn't mesh. And people may think that someone else has written to them, you know, which again is something in this robot bot world of automation that you very much so want to avoid, right?
Yes, and totally fine if you want to automate emails, but make sure it's in your voice when you schedule it in. And I guess as well as your team grows, if you know there is more than just you, you make sure everyone is following the same kind of template so that all of their emails are, you know, even if they are the emails are coming from them as a team member, but the brand as the business, you know, I think of brands like, you know, like Virgin, you know, it's a little bit quirky, tongue in cheek. I'm thinking like the Virgin Active Gym where my kids have swimming lessons and the signs they have. And obviously their staff need to be aware of that language. It's not just one person writing all of it. Well, there could be, but I'm sure there's not. So they need to be, you know, all on track with the same kind of brand,
yeah,
so that every single message that comes through the business is all similar. So I think you just like, okay, you know, I've just hired a, you know, offshore VA, and I haven't had to brief her too much because she naturally has a bit of a quirky way of writing. So I'm only actually making minor grammatical tweaks, which is pretty cool considering she's based in the Philippines. So it does help when there's a bit of consistency with all that stuff. So everyone needs to be on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether you are a, you know, giant multinational company, whereas there, I guess, you know, it's super important that, you know, maybe their team of 1,000 riders are, you know, having that same consistency, or whether it's just you, you know, because sometimes you can get in your own head, right? So you may say receive an email that, you know, can be a complaint or something. So you may sort of feel that you need to, you know, sort of change your tone and change your voice and be super serious. But there's still ways of being serious but still being you as well, you know. And, again, you don't want that inconsistency coming through.
Yeah. And so how long would a document, tone of voice document, be? Is that something that needs to be a manual, or is like an A4 page all right? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
For me, I go with A4 page template. Keep it short and simple, and I, you know, can give you some tips on that. It can depend. Like, for example, back in my agency days, you know, multinational companies did have 50-page documents, but you know, but they have so many different areas of their businesses and levels, and theirs was so deep, so in depth, and there was just so many dot points and so many boxes to tick and things you couldn't go outside of at all, you know, that's fine too. If you're a small business, you know, and it's just you or it's a team of a few, a simple one-page, even two-page outline is totally fine. It's all you need. There's no need to overwhelm it at all. Definitely yeah. Not.
And I think as well, you think of just thinking, if you know your industry, obviously, maybe certain words to avoid as well, if they yep. bring up different connotations, may misrepresent the brand, you know, this kind of stuff, knowing who you're talking to, and sensitive language as well. So I was just thinking, you know, I've had experience at a disability organization, and so you don't use the words care for, you say support. It isn't this disabled person. It is person with the disability, mm-hmm. and or not even or person, yeah, person with disabilities, or yeah, it's, you've got to be very careful. And I, you know, I picked it up, like, all right, cool, I know this stuff, and you just then you roll with it. But it's like you've got to be mindful of your industry, certain terms, and then sometimes there's things like I know in finance, you need to get all these approvals. You can't say certain things, like, because I've written some blogs for like, it was all about superannuation. You need to say, you know, this is advice only, speak to us. It's, you know, a bit of disclaimer at the bottom. So things like disclaimers you probably want to put in there too. And yeah, so it just depends on your industry and how in depth it needs to be, I reckon.
Yeah, of course. And it, yeah, it really is dependent on the industry. But of course, if there are legal stipulations you need to have in and disclaimers, you know, absolutely include them on there, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So how does someone pinpoint what their voice sounds like? Like, what are the steps involved in fleshing all that out?
Yeah, of course. I have a few ways I like to do this, because I think when it comes to starting to write copy and get yourself out there, you know, being visible, you can hide behind your words. It can be super scary being yourself out there in the world of the internets, right? Because everyone's going to see, the entire world can view your website page, right? if you want to think about it that way. So it can be scary, and I do find a lot of people trying to hide behind their words and maybe play it a bit safe, you know. First of all, my first tip is have a conversation with a friend, with your closest friend, right? And that's because with your friends, you're honest, okay? You have their trust and they have your trust. So sit down, have a conversation with your friend, because you should be writing your copy how you speak to your friends. If you want to go to the point of recording that conversation, you know, and really pay attention to the things you're saying. And you'll find as well in that you'll have a few phrases that you might say, you know, to others in conversation. I can't think of anything right now, but, you know, it could be "fully sick, mate," you know, going back to 16-year-old Gemma.
Fully sick. I say like awesome a lot. I don't know if still, yeah.
You know, there can be words or phrases that naturally come out, and your friends know that as you. So start to really pay attention to those, you know, write them down, and here and there, pop them into what you're writing, because that's what makes a conversational.
You know what's so funny? You just said, I was just thinking, you don't often know. Sometimes your kids help you with these sayings. Yeah. My kids, you know, 7 and 4, I've started saying, "Oh, just pop it on the bench." And it made me realize. So literally, as I thought it, you said the word "pop." It's one of those things like, I didn't realize I say "pop" so often, but "pop," I just pop in the fridge, pop it on the bench, pop it in your bag. And now they're coming back and saying it to me. So I'm like, okay, that's just an example.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you said it. Yeah,
yeah, and that's already making it conversational, and yeah, putting it
rather than place it there or put it there. You pop it. It's kind of a bit of a, you know, bit of fun to it.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I think. Sometimes people may start to write copy and think, "Oh, I'm writing. This should be formal, or this should be this," you know. But if you're writing it as you speak, that's definitely my first tip. You know, pop it there, or maybe just, you know, chuck it in the bin. You can write that in your copy. Why not?
Yes, exactly. You can be so and the because at the beginning of the words. I like to be, you know, ooh, a bit naughty with that. You can do that too. But with the, like, if you have written something, it's my little tip. Yeah, read it out loud. And if it does feel, well, this feels awkward for me to say, mm-hmm. then you know you need to tweak it a little bit. So that's, I mean, I've been telling my brother and sister that since I was helping them with their school projects and essays, going, read it out. Does that make sense? Does it need a full stop there? And then, yeah, so you just read it out going, "Oh, does this sound like me? Do I usually say that word, or I only ever type that word?" Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's my little tip there.
Love it. Absolutely. And my next tip is one of my favorite things. I like to tell people, my clients, decide 5 things you love. So really think about 5 things you love. So whether it be how you spend your time when you're not working, eating or sleeping, I guess, or what are things you love doing, or things you're obsessed with, right? So I guess, for example, mine is animal print.
She's wearing animal print for anyone who can't see the video.
Wearing my animal print. Sloths, giant tortoises, sharing knowledge, and cooking. So they're 5 things I love. And what you should do, so decide 5 things and then brainstorm around them. So, for example, are there analogies that you can infuse into your
copy? I love that. That's cool.
Yeah, right? Infuse that into your copy and put that into a brand voice document. So how does it work, right? So I think of me. So something I love is animal print. It's kind of everywhere. It's on the website. It's in basically every item of clothing I wear.
I have a lot of leopard print too. I do love my leopard print. Yeah.
And a value of mine is individuality. So I'm pretty sure somewhere on my website, or probably everywhere, and in most of my blogs, I started then to brainstorm around, don't get lost in your stripes. Be the zebra others identify. Let your different lines shine through.
Oh, that is so cool. I like that.
Right? Because we, you know, individuality is such a value of mine. And I thought of a way I could infuse that. So as humans, we may look at zebras and cheetahs and think they all look the same, but they actually all have their own unique spots. So, you know, the other animals can identify them, you know. So it's like, don't be that zebra that gets stuck in the pack, you know, let those.
Yes. Oh, like, I was just thinking, I love chocolate. So yeah, don't leave that chocolate in the pack. Finish right? that chocolate off, devour that chocolate. Right. Yeah. I'm sure I could think of so many things. Or don't leave your blog to melt on the shelf, you know.
See?
Yeah, I could just brainstorm these right now. There you go. That's real. There you go. See, another copyright. I've never even thought about doing that kind of thing. I'm going to have fun with that.
So decide five things you love and, yeah, brainstorm things around it. And how different is that going to make your brand voice be different? You know, it's infusing your personality. It's infusing things you love, and it's creating that little bit of difference of a brand voice.
And that visual, it gives you a visual. So it's just, yeah, so you're picturing those animals moving away from the pack. Like it's the stripes. You can, it just kind of paints more of a picture with your words, which is all very cool. And that's it, more engaging. And yeah, no, I really love that idea. No, thanks for that. That's a really good tip.
You're very welcome. And I think my next tip there is also think about your life experiences. You know, we all have them. And as humans, we're storytellers. That's what we do. We have that part of our brain that allows us to do that, allows our imagination, allows our storytelling, allows us to gossip to all that sort of stuff. So really think about something you failed at, something you find hilarious. What mistakes have you made? What have you learned? What's changed your life? And you can also use those and infuse them in different areas of your copy as well. And that, again, makes you, you know, it humanizes you and is then creating your own voice because you're sharing your own experiences that no one else will have.
Yeah, that's really cool. Cause it's, yeah, everyone has completely different experiences, or even if you're both at the same event, everyone has different perceptions, right, of what happened. And so what would be an example of using that in, is that kind of storytelling in your, like your social media posts and your emails, when you just go, oh, just give an example of something in your experience that proves a point, or kind of like, yeah, kind of go, oh, this, it's kind of like the time that I did X, Y, Z, and a bit of like that, you painted a picture of something completely different and then tie it back to the topic at hand. Is that kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, life experiences, I think, make wonderful social posts because that's what those platforms are for. Yeah, you know, it's social media. It's people are there to be in groups, to, you know, not be overly formal. So really sharing those experiences and then tying it into what you do or how you can help with that. Or as something like that, I think they create great, even a single blog post.
I agree. Like, actually, I haven't put this up at the time of this recording, but my 4-year-old collected some dandelions, you know, flowers on walking to school the other day, and I took a really cute photo of her holding them. And I thought I would post something like, you know, is it time to stop to smell the flowers, and then tell a little story of how she picked them up. And yes, they're just lying on the ground, but she's picking them, and then something like taking a moment to pause and think of your content strategy. It doesn't have to be a massive bouquet of roses, you know, it can just be something basic like dandelions you can find anyway. But that's kind of, it's in my head, I have to put it out there. But that's like a little thing, as obviously my post will have a cute photo of my 4-year-old, and that shows a bit of, you know, my personal world, and then tie it into what my offering is. So that's probably just one little example right there.
Wonderful.
Now I just have to write it on the to-do list. Yeah. Have you got any other tips for them? These are great.
I think that's all for there, but I would love to sort of, I can start going into tips about then how to flesh out your actual voice. So once you've started playing around and doing all of that, then what I like to say, I guess your first step of creating that final, you know, template, review your mission. So as business owners, we do all get stuck in the day-to-day, and we're working, we're doing all of the things. So sometimes we can not forget, but just sort of put our business mission, you know, to the side burner, I guess. So if you go back and revisit your purpose, revisit your why, that's going to automatically help those earlier things that I said, you know, with the experiences, with things that you love, to really just revisit your purpose.
And yes. And episode 40 with Rebecca Toz, by the way, we talk about crafting a succinct purpose and vision in one page. So if you haven't listened to that episode, that's, I should actually go back because this is what I need to get onto myself. So yes, that's a really great episode to tune into if you need more help with that. I agree. It's
Wonderful, because it's really going to help you then start to flesh out your communication style, you know. And then the second most important part, review your values. So like I said, with, you know, brainstorming ideas around five things you love, how can you then intertwine those with your values? And that it's just a wonderful exercise to do. And then you'll find that your brand voice is just coming out in your writing because it's aligning with you, it's aligning with your values, you've got all these fun, you know, anecdotes and stories and things and analogies that you can then put in with your values, and it just, your brand voice is creating itself.
I'm going to say so much more depth to it. And and it really gives you then a guideline of what to write. And when you're putting all your content together, it just gives it a bit of more of a backbone, not just this empty words that don't mean much. It's got, guts to it.
It's got the guts. Yeah, it's gutsy. And then a fun exercise I like to do is describing your brand voice. So if your brand was a person, how would you describe its personality? And that really, really starts to help you create what I guess is intellectual property, you know, into a person, into a personality. So that's a really, really fun exercise. I love doing that.
Oh, yeah? So what's yours?
Put me on the spot there.
Do you have one for you, or is it more like do as I say, not as I do?
No, I do. I don't have it in front of me, but it's basically contently driven, is wild with her words, fearless in what she does, loves to crack jokes, and has a great time.
Yes, I love it. So you got the animal wording in there, right? Like the wild and the... Oh, that's cool. I don't know what mine would be. Something that quirky and I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Help me. Oh, yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun. See, everyone, all this stuff, it's not just for the copywriters. Like anyone can come up with this. It can be fun. It doesn't have to be scary. Just go back and listen to this episode again. Stop it, pause it, work on it. Yeah, you got this.
Absolutely. And then to help you with describing it as a personality, you can then think of three describing words or three adjectives, right? And that can really help. So, for example, one can be passionate, you know, and that can then really help. And what I like to do with each three word is then add a further three words on top of that. So this is how I'm now starting to delve in and create the actual document. So, for example, if your first word is passionate, from there, what are three words you can use to describe that word? So it could be expressive, heartfelt, enthusiastic, right? And from there, you're already starting to create those words and the feelings of what to use in your brand voice. And this is what starts to make up that document. And it's really fun. Now, this can sound a lot, right? So my next fun exercise to drop and break down the overwhelm is figure out what you're not, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you're trying to figure out what you are, can be a bit challenging for you. Figure out what you're not. So I like to say, I'm this, but I'm not this. So as an example, I'm authoritative but not pushy, and that can really help you so much in the way that you start to write and use that brand voice, tone of voice document.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because I'd say I'm, yeah, relaxed, not corporate. it's true. Sometimes it's easier working backwards, going like, yeah, I'm not pushy. I'd also say I'm not pushy. I'm not formal. I'm conversational.
Yeah.
It kind of can be easier to start with the not and then work out the opposite rather than go the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my little, I guess, breaking down the overwhelm exercise, because it is so much easier to say, well, I'm not this, but I am this, you know. I'm this, but I'm definitely not this. You know, you can say I'm formal, but, you know, I'm not boring. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it. Don't have a pole at my bum. I'm a
right.
Official but not formal. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And that's when that document starts to come together.
That's so cool. I think that's all made it sound very fun to do. It's not because you go tone of voice document and it's all like, especially if you escaped the corporate world for a reason or never touched it. And then you're like, what is this? But that's it. Yeah. It sounds like something fun to then flesh it all out. And if you do have a team, discuss it with your team and get everyone's ideas on it. And sounds like a fun exercise. So you do, how do you work through this with people? You kind of consult with them and step them through it? Do you do it for them? Is it collaborative? How does it work?
It's collaborative. So we do like the exercises and things I just went through, we do them together, we flesh it out, and then we'll create the template at the end. So I usually have like the voice characteristic, which will be, you know, one of the adjectives, so passionate. Description of it, you know, so what's your description of passionate? You know, that can be a value. I'm passionate about helping women do such and such, you know. And then the do's and the don'ts. So the do's in there of, you know, use active words and use strong verbs and let your passions shine through, but don't, you know, be pushy, don't be overwhelming, don't be this. So that's sort of how it all comes together, and it's such a fun exercise to do with someone as well.
Yeah, I love that. And so, yeah, I wanted to see a come back to those with teams. So, so say you have put all this together as a team, and then how do you, like, what are your tips for, like, to ensure the consistency, to keep everyone on track with it, without micromanaging? Like, what kind of tips do you have to get everyone on board and keep everyone on board?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the first time, once you've done it together, or if you haven't done it together, if someone's on board your team, you know, give them the document, keep it, keep to that one page and make sure it's there with them and have it, I guess,
on their wall or something.
Yeah, stick it on the wall. And there's no need to micromanage it, but just, you know, I tell your team to, you know, when you've written a piece of copy, an email, a marketing email, a blog or whatever, just go back and refer to that and make sure, you know, the things are in there. So, reread it. And if you think, oh, that's a bit pushy and that's not what I want, take it out, you know. So it's just a matter of making sure it's always referred to. And there's no need, I guess, to micromanage it.
I think, look, people will be forgiving if you do occasionally put in words that you don't like. No one's going to be going, I know their tone of voice document and that's not what it, that's gone against the whole policy. Obviously, customers won't know what's on it. It is more for you. And it doesn't matter if it's not, held to 100% of the time. Yeah. But it is that guideline that you're all striving towards. So I guess don't put too much pressure on it. If there's any uncertainty, you know, if there are new staff members, say, look, I don't mind reviewing it or get, you know, someone else to check it if you're not sure. But, I think otherwise roll with it and don't be afraid of it. It's to be fun. And then after a while it will be more ingrained and everyone will be doing the same stuff. So,
absolutely. I think in if you have someone new on your team in the early days, you can review it or get someone else to review it, as well, don't put pressure on them that, you know, every little bit of this needs to be exactly this. You know, of course, if you have, like we said earlier, disclaimers and specific things, then sure. But as long as, you know, bad words aren't in there or wrong words or things that completely don't align with you, But yeah, there's definitely no need to micromanage it and just have it there that they can refer to. And once they get into the flow, it will become easier, you know. And so many people say to us, and I'm sure you've heard this as well as a copywriter, it's like, oh, how are you going to write to sound like me? It's like, well, that's my job. And we have these documents and we have these things and we're able to read over that and see what it is and then let our writing flow into that tone of voice, into that brand voice.
You know? Yes. Actually, well, let's just I'd briefly cover that. Because, you know, you and I probably do a lot of ghost writing, and so our name isn't slapped onto a lot of the stuff we write. Other people, we're writing on behalf of other people. And so for me, like personally getting into the headspace, that's why that phone call I have with my client at the initial point is so important. I don't ever take on a project without speaking to the person because I need to hear their voice. I need to hear their passion. I need to really feel their energy before I can write like them. And so, look, most of the clients I have, they don't have a tone of voice document. I just say what kind of tone, they give me a few words, and that's basically the extent. So if I have to then rely on me knowing the client enough, like whether it's through just a half hour chat or an hour, you know, brief, proper briefing or whatever, to go, all right, as I'm typing, think, all right, they were kind of really using these kinds of words. It does help as well if they give me notes and I have then an idea of their the kind of words and language they want to use, and then I pull that into the copy. So, no, it's never a copy and paste job if you do send over notes to your copywriter, by the way. If you've written stuff, they're going to use it. They're not a mind reader. They're going to use stuff you've given them and transform it so it's effective, but it's also sounding like you, and you've obviously put some work into these words, so therefore, you know, you need to use that stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so for me, I try and get your headspace from talking to you, so I do need to have that conversation. So I don't know, are you the same, Gemma?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same as what I said earlier about finding having your own conversation with a friend if you're finding your own brand voice, you know. So those initial conversations with a client before we write their copy, it are everything. And that's exactly what we do. We pay attention to, oh, they said, you know, that phrase a few times, and oh, they threw that word in there.
And we are listening. We're listening to every word.
Totally right. Yeah. We are creeping on your mind. Don't you worry about that. Absolutely.
I say that, I'm like, oh, I have to kind of get inside your head in a non-creepy way, but it is coming out as you. So you don't want me, unless they, you know, of course, if they go, oh, look, if we really connect really well and I can tell they're bubbly just like me, then quite often I'll just write how I would write, and I know that would be, you know, it would work. But if they're a lot more serious than me, then I'm going to, all right, probably even sit a bit differently in my chair or just go, all right.
Totally.
Breathe in. I'm being more serious now. Get into that headspace and then make sure I'm in that headspace before I start writing. If I'm hypo, whatever, don't do it. So that's, just to give everyone a little bit of insight how we do it. That's how we do it. And that first draft, it isn't always perfect, but then it's collaborative, right? So then we go back to you, go, all right, you wouldn't use that word. That's fine. What word would you use instead? And you move it around and then end it with something you're happy with. And then eventually, you know, if we do have like ongoing clients, obviously we get better and better and better at matching your writing voice as we get to know you better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. It's almost like we put a different cap on, right? You know, it's like, oh, okay, this brand voice, my serious cap on. Let's transform ourselves into acting in that way, right?
When I was writing superannuation blogs, I'm like, okay, all right, I'm in the informative kind of headspace now. But then when it's, you know, for a counselor, I'm like, oh, I'm in the empowering headspace now, you know. It's interesting how we change into the different personalities to sort of writing.
Totally. Yeah, love that. It's awesome.
I love it. And so I always ask, absolutely love this conversation, by the way. Everyone, please just make note. If you need help, then you can get Gemma on board. I always ask my guests this. How do you manage your health and wellness, Gemma?
Right. Well, health-wise, I think the way I grew up, I have immigrant parents, so everything was always grown in the backyard. Everything was always cooked fresh. So I've never, ever been one to eat food that's bad for me or anything like that. I've had, I think, one soft drink my entire life, wasn't allowed to drink them when I was a kid. So I am always really aware of what I'm putting into my body. So health-wise for me, I believe that food is everything. You know, food feeds your brain, feeds your gut, feeds your energy levels. So I'm always really, I guess, aware of my food and what I'm eating. And well-being for me is exercise. It just gets my endorphins and my dopamine going, whoo, yeah. So I am, yeah, very, very fit in that way. So it's a lot of boxing. I love boxing. I love skipping. I love increasing my heart rate. I do tend to sit down a lot for my job, so I'm making sure I'm always active. And being outside a lot is really important and how I look after my well-being. I need to get in the sun for a bit. I need to be outdoors, feel nature, feel sand on my feet or dirt on my feet. I tend to spend a lot of time inside as part of my work, so as much as I can counteract that, that's how I look after my health and well-being.
I love that. When I used to do group training, I did love the boxing, and I've got it back into the running, which is great, but my arms, I feel like, are getting a bit flabby. I need to like build up my muscle there, not from just carrying my 4-year-old around. I know boxing's really good with that. I can only do like 10 girly push-ups, so I know I need to work on that. Maybe box, because that's really good for your upper body strength, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why I should give a go. All right, so how can people connect with you?
Yes, of course. Well, you can find me at my website, of course. So it's contentlydriven.com. My handles for Instagram, Facebook at contentlydriven. My LinkedIn, that's where I spend most of my time, same as you, Leanne, is through my name, Gemma Lumichisi. And, of course, you can check out my podcast and find me over there at Work Wife Wine Time.
Woo, and it's a lot of fun. So you do it with a couple of other ladies, don't you? And you, so what do they do again? They're in slightly different industries.
Yeah, so we all came together from different industries. Rowena is a graphic designer. And Michaela is a coach and a tech specialist. So it's, our three different industries, I guess, work really well together there.
Yeah, so they alternate between, who speaks, whether it's themselves or their guests or whatever it is. It's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah.
I'm always on the lookout for really good podcasts that I can relate to and just, learn something but also have fun throughout the conversation,
Absolutely.
Just like our chats. Woo.
Yeah. So, all three of us share one of the same values of fun. So there you go.
I know. It's business, serious money making stuff, but if you're not having fun along the way, then what's the point, right?
Absolutely. Love it. Yeah.
Love it. So thank you, Gemma. Really loved our chat today. Lots of great tips there. It's awesome. And thanks to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. And if you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn to search for Leanne Shelton and tell me you listen to the podcast. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.